Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend, Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Hi. Stephen is not here in the studio, but is still in the is in the mission fields of Youngstown. And through the wonders of modern communications, it sounds like he's right here.
Yeah, it does.
So how are things going in Youngstown?
They're going pretty well.
Are you converting heathens?
Oh, my.
Do they have heathens in Youngstown?
No, there's no heathens in Youngstown.
Oh, okay, good.
No.
Whew. I thought your life might be in danger.
No.
Anyway, here we are again on Sunday night. And
amen.
Yeah, it's always great. And we've had, I don't know how many weeks now, of talking about Holy Spirit ministry and the power of Pentecost, and how the power of Pentecost not only came in the first century, but is here now and is available to everyone who knows Jesus as their Lord and Savior and is open to the Spirit and has the Spirit dwelling in them and allows the Spirit to work through them. And I think we've done, I don't know, at least four or five shows along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
And today we're going to get back to sort of a basic concept that you probably learned when you were 3 years old. And the concept is God loves us. I think that's probably the first thing anybody remembers their yeah. mother teaching them when they were 3 or 4 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And of course it doesn't hurt to hear that once in a while or fairly often, even when you're 20 or 30 or 50 or 80 or 120 years old, because after all these things we talked about are rooted in the fact that God loves us, are rooted in the fact that because he loves us, this plan of salvation unfolded, and because he loves us, he desires that all may be saved,
right,
as it says in the scriptures. So we thought we'd take a week here to we can't possibly cover in an hour or even 20 hours everything that the Bible says about love.
Yeah, no.
But, you know, we'll pick a few representative scriptures and talk about it from that point of view, keeping in mind that the place where we need to start with this is John 3:16, and we probably don't even need to read that, because everyone knows that verse and everyone sees it on television at every sporting event, and anywhere you go, you see banners that say John 3:16. But mm-hmm. in case you're tuning in for the first time and you don't know who John is and don't have a clue what we're talking about, Steve, why don't you read that verse?
We should, exactly.
Yeah, go ahead.
So John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life.
Ooh. For God so loved the world. Now, you know, when he says the world, you know, let's talk about that for a second. The world in terms of planet Earth and the universe and all the inanimate objects like rocks and gases and things, of course, God created. And I guess you could say he loves them. He said all that was good. But what he's talking about here, of course, is human beings.
Mm-hmm.
We are a special order of creation because we're created in the image and likeness of God.
Right.
And to really understand the depths of this, which of course we never will, I don't think even if we've been in heaven for a billion years, we won't know the whole depths of this, that he so loved us that he gave his only begotten son. And this is an unbelievable concept,
mm-hmm.
that if you believe in him, you won't die, but have eternal life. Now, that sounds kind of easy, and we're going to get into that a little bit later. What do you mean, just believe in him? I know there was a Jesus. I believe that. But we're going to see it's a little more deep than that. It's a little more serious than that. And the fact that a loving father gives us new life through his only begotten son is the key here.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're going to touch on later even about the fall of Adam and Eve. And I know you've heard that a million times, but it's always good to remind ourselves we're in the position we're in because of the fall of Adam and Eve.
Right.
It still affects us on a day-to-day basis. If you're home taking pills for some disease, that's because of the fall of Adam and Eve. Mm-hmm. If you are home and your knees hurt and your back hurts and you wish you were 16 years old again, that's because of the fall of Adam and Eve.
Yeah.
And when you are like Paul and you say, well, the good things I want to do, I don't do that, but the stuff I don't want to do, I keep doing. that's because of the fall of Adam and Eve.
Exactly.
Yeah. Go ahead, Steve. Add whenever you feel like.
Well, you know, as you're talking, there's one key word in that passage from John 3:16 that I think really needs to be unfolded a little bit. And that is the word believes in,
mm-hmm.
or those two words.
Yes.
Whoever believes in him.
Right.
You know, what does it mean? You know, what does it mean to believe?
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you examine the word as it is written there, or as it's proclaimed there, you know, you can look up definitions, obviously, and, you know, to accept as true, to, you know, credit with veracity, to expect or suppose, to have firm faith, you know, and that it gets into religious faith. But when we say the creed, I believe in one God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you ask the question, what is faith? What is a faith? And then what does it mean to believe in someone or something?
Mm-hmm.
You kind of unfold this mystery that's right there in that word, because, you know, faith is obviously seeing or believing in something that we can't see.
Yes.
You know, we know it to be true, but it's just by faith, you know. And the Bible tells us we walk by faith and not by sight.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus says, you know, blessed are those who believe and who haven't seen, when Thomas is doubting that he's really risen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a faith is a set of beliefs. You know, there's many faiths in the world. You know, there are different denominations. They have a set of beliefs that they adhere to as their doctrines.
Yes.
But when you say, what does it mean to believe in someone? You know, it's really, do I trust this person with my entire life? And that's what's really at stake here. To believe in Jesus is to entrust your entire life to him, because he has exchanged his life for mine.
Yes. That's the key.
Yeah.
It's not intellectual knowledge that there was such a person as Jesus.
Right.
It's not saying, yeah, I believe he existed and he lived. And yeah, I believe he was crucified. And I, you know, I believe he rose from the dead, but, you know, that's interesting. And a lot of,
right.
You know, that's a lot of people believe that. And, you know, I believe it, but it's not a big deal to me. You know, it's because I got a lot of stuff to do and I'm pretty busy all the time, but it's nice to know that. That's not, as you say, that's not what the term believes in him means.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. And the fact that this is how you have eternal life, you know, we've talked about that the last few weeks. There's one way to have eternal life. There's one door that you go through. When he said, you know, he came to so that we could have life and have it more abundantly, he says that after he talks about the door that goes into the sheepfold, and he goes through the door and he leads the sheep out.
Right.
He's the only one that the sheep follow. He's the only one that goes through the door. He's the only way. And the love of God, specifically the love of the Father, and, you know, of course, God does everything in Trinity, is the fact that the only begotten Son, which was this concept that really was kind of hard for the church to come to grips with in the first few centuries.
Yeah.
Because it is a pretty amazing idea that Messiah is 100% God and 100% man.
Mm-hmm.
It took, you know, a little while to kind of work that out. And he's the only begotten, you know, wasn't created. He didn't come into existence Christmas Eve in Bethlehem. He wasn't, you know, something, some being that was just manufactured at that moment. You know, he's eternal. He's part of the eternal Godhead. He's of the same substance as the Father and the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the Greek word monogenes means he's the only one who's like that. There is nobody else who's like that, and there won't ever be anybody else who's like that.
Right.
But because of this, because God sends his only begotten son, we can be led into intimacy with the Godhead.
Mm-hmm.
We can go from being a slave to sin to a child sitting at the table.
Yeah.
And this is the love. And we refer many times to, if you watch the movie, The Passion of the Christ,
mm-hmm.
you know, what's the lesson there? I mean, here's this horrible, brutal torture and execution of what seems like a innocent man who just suffers through it all.
Yeah.
But when you understand why he suffered through it all, it kind of humbles you and brings you down to your knees to say, wow, you know, this is just for me.
Right.
This had to be done because of what I'm doing. This had to be done because what every other human being has done and is doing and will be doing, that this is all done because God so loved the world that he had his only begotten son do this.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, there's four basic truths that I think we get into about God's love. And the first one is that God loves us unconditionally.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a plan for us.
Yes.
He has a plan for each person.
Yes.
And as you're saying, we see that unconditional love of the Father through the sacrifice that Jesus made for us.
Yeah.
Taking our place on Calvary.
Yeah.
And, you know, what did this man have to do with my sin? He had everything to do with it. Because without him, I'm still in my sin, and I'm still condemned to hell. But through him, I have eternal life. And as you said, I become an adopted son and daughter. You know, mm-hmm. if you're a female, you're an adopted daughter of God, through the blood of Jesus. And, you know, this free gift that we receive, that is there for us to receive, we don't do anything else but receive it.
Mm-hmm.
But once we receive it, we're called to action.
Mm.
We're called to follow God's plan for our life. And Jesus didn't just lay his life down so that, you know, we can keep on doing what we're doing and stay in our error and sin. He didn't pay the ultimate price for that to happen. He paid that price so that we can be with him, we can fellowship with him, and that we can be at the supper table of the Lamb, that we're going to be in the kingdom and worship with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit for all of eternity.
Yeah.
And, you know, for us to really, you know, wrap our mind around that, it's almost a little bit too much for us, if you will.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And, you know, we have to kind of briefly go through what happened because of the fall and how this situation developed, because mm-hmm. how many times, I'm sure all of you listening, and I know it's happened to Steve and I probably 700 times, where we hear people say, well, I'm a good person. I've never killed anybody. I don't steal anything. I go to church most of the time, and I'm, you know, you can ask all my friends. I'm a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I don't know all this stuff that we're, you know, that you guys are talking about, but I just know one thing. I'm a pretty good guy.
Yeah.
Well, you're never going to be a good enough guy to sit at the table.
No, not
you're never own. You're never going to earn a chair at the table that has your name on it.
Mm-mm.
And you're never going to be able to approach the holy thing by saying, hey, God, you know, you know what I've been doing. I'm a pretty nice guy.
And God does know what you've been doing.
Yeah.
You're not such a nice guy.
Yeah. He may answer, well, let me tell you some other things that you've been doing, or let me tell you some other things that you've done, or let me tell you some other things that have happened to you. And when you realize where you stand, you kind of shrink down and say, I don't deserve a chair at that table.
Right.
Because you don't.
Exactly.
And no matter who you are, whether you're St. Paul or whether you're Moses or whether you're Elijah or whether you're Joe Smith, you don't deserve a chair at the table.
Right. Yeah. I was going to say that, you know, if we think we're past our own sinfulness or walking with the Lord and we got it all figured out, I think we only need to look into the book of Revelation where Jesus has the seven messages for the seven churches.
Yeah.
Because we see very quickly how people fell back into their sin habits. Even when Paul wrote the letters to the communities, you know, to the Ephesians, the Galatians, you know, he would tell them, who has tricked you?
Yeah.
Into believing a false doctrine. I was just here and preached the truth to you, and now within a short period of time, you all are following false gods again.
Yeah.
Who tricked you?
You started out in the law. You started out in the spirit, and now you want to go to the law.
Yeah, or you want to follow some other god. And look at all. We go back to the Mount Sinai when Moses was leading the people out of Egypt. They're there at the base of the mountain. Moses is up on the mountain getting the Ten Commandments, the law, and Aaron's the high priest, and he's watching over the people, but the people rebel. And they're at the base of Mount Sinai.
Mm-hmm.
And Mount Sinai is covered in a cloud, and there's peals of thunder and lightning. And they're right there in the presence of God.
Yeah.
And yet, what do? They turn. We don't know what happened to Moses. He's probably consumed up in there in that fire and that cloud up there.
Yeah, you won't see him anymore.
And we're not certainly going to go up there and look for him. So let's just build ourselves a God and we'll get out of here. So it really doesn't, you know, if we truly are honest with ourselves, do we really follow the Lord as closely as we should?
Right.
And as closely as he desires us to.
Yeah.
Because if we do, then we're going to experience the fullness of God's love in a way that we can't do it any other way.
And this is where the John 3:16 passage comes in.
Yeah.
Because even though those guys are behaving that way, God still loves them, wants to bring them to redemption, wants to bring them, in their case, to the land. He is still going to find a way to do that. Ooh, I hear music. Wow, we're at the first break already.
Wow.
Remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. You'll find all kinds of things there, including all the radio shows archived. We'll be back in just a minute.
Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Over me while I
Listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. Now, that's an awesome song.
Yeah, that's Jared Anderson. Oof. Singing Amaze.
Oh. Anyway.
Well, you know, when you encounter God's love,
yeah,
the embrace of God's love, like that divine hug that we're going to talk about,
yeah,
it is amazing.
When I first became a believer, one of the first songs that just blew me away was the song Amazing Love.
Yeah.
And I had it on a CD. I don't even remember what CD it was, but I must have played that song about 18 times a day.
Yeah.
But anyway, and speaking of which, let's go to 1 John. This is John's first letter, not John's gospel. You know, John also wrote three epistles, as yeah, I'm sure all of you know. But in case you don't know, there's the gospel of John and then there's three epistles. The epistles are short, but whew, they are really powerful. Steve, why don't you read 1 through 8, and we'll talk about that a little bit.
Okay. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 through 8. See what love the Father has bestowed on us, that we may be called children of God. Yes, so we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we shall be has not yet been revealed. We do know that when it is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope based on him makes himself pure as he is pure. Everyone who commits sin commits lawlessness, for sin is lawlessness. You know that he was revealed to take away sin, and in him there is no sin. No one who remains in him sins. No one who sins has seen him or knows him. Children, let no one deceive you. The person who acts in righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. Whoever sins belongs to the devil, because the devil has sinned from the beginning. Indeed, the Son of God was revealed to destroy the works of the devil.
Mm. So again, the devil is our enemy. We've gone through that. Jesus said he was a liar and a murderer from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So this was to destroy the works of the devil. But back at the beginning of that, what's really cool is, I mean, when John writes this, you can kind of see the way he writes that first sentence that you read, Steve, that you could see the kind of awe he has in his voice. Yes. Look what manner of love the Father has. Look what manner of love he's bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God.
Yeah.
Children.
Yes, we are. Yeah.
Children. The rebellious people that you mentioned at Mount Sinai, the rebellious people who were in the wilderness, the rebellious people that were everywhere in the world, the rebellious people that are everywhere in the world now, mm-hmm. and will be everybody in the world, everywhere in the world the day after tomorrow, and the rebellious people that are us, including me, including Steve, including everybody that you know.
Yeah.
All these rebellious people, we then can be called children of God. In rebellion, you know, you don't have a house where people in a rebellion become your children. You know, you don't have a country where people rebel against the government, but, you know, they're the government's children. This right. is a situation where, because sin is dealt with in this way, and John points out, you know, this is a good passage because John points out some of the things that aren't emphasized so much today. You know, we still have to endeavor to live a good life. We have to endeavor to try to live a holy life. We have to endeavor to try to do what we know pleases him.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that we're going to fall short.
Right.
But we have to still try. You know, it's many people have the idea that, well, you know, yeah, I've been a believer since I was 15 and I'm 85 now. And yep, I got my ticket punched when I was 15. And when he calls me, I'm in.
I'm ready to go.
Ready to go. I got my admission ticket right here. And, you know, not to make light of that, but you know what I mean. You're supposed to live a life that shows
right.
that.
Right. I mean, Jesus does tell us that, you know, not everybody that says, Lord, Lord.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to say, what did you, you know, when, what did you do? What works, you know, what works, did, what works were born out of the faith that, that you received when you believed in me?
Mm-hmm.
Did you feed the hungry? Did you give, you know, drink to the thirsty? Did you go and proclaim that there is salvation and forgiveness of sins in my name, in mm-hmm. Jesus' name?
Mm-hmm.
Did you do those works that I did?
Yeah.
You know, did you die to yourself, pick up your cross and follow me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we've talked about this many times on the shows. The Pharisees, Jesus was hard on the Pharisees because they were the teachers. They were they knew the law. They kept the law, but they also heaped burdens upon the people because they added to the law.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus would even tell them, you're forbidding other people from getting into the kingdom of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
But then Jesus also tells the people of his day, you know, your righteousness needs to surpass that of the scribes and Pharisees. You're still called to holiness because you won't get in the kingdom of heaven either if it doesn't. So it's a very, you know, it's not something that's, it sounds like almost like, wow, how can this be done?
Yeah.
Well, it's only done through the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
It's only done through the blood of Messiah.
Yes. And this is why this follows so closely to John's Gospel 3:16.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the love, because there's this pathway,
right?
We can be children of God. We can be sons and daughters, going right. from you can look at it as if you're a rich, important family in ancient times, or even say in American past history, and you owned a piece of land and you had slaves working for you, and you were in charge of the whole place, and you didn't say to the slaves, oh, come on in, you guys, and I made you some dinner. Sit down, relax. You guys been working all day. Why don't you sit here and eat for a while? Mm-hmm. No, when you were the master, you know, they were not on the same level as you are.
No.
Your children were a lot different than their children. You know, the family that owned the place, their sons and daughters were important people. The children of the slaves were not important people.
Right.
In fact, at that time, they weren't even considered people. They were considered property.
Yes.
But here, we get to be called children. You know, and it says in the book of Romans and also in Galatians that, you know, when we cry out, Abba, Daddy, then we know that we've become adopted sons. We've become adopted daughters. We've become adopted children. And we go from being slaves to sin, slaves to ourselves, slaves to the culture of the world, to being sons and daughters that are sitting at the table.
Yeah.
This is mind-boggling. Mm-hmm. And those of us that know him and those of us that have the Spirit living in us, that we are his children, the people that we hear and see in our day-to-day life, the people we see and hear on TV who think we're all just a bunch of kooks, we're all those far-right Bible thumper types.
Yeah.
They say that because they don't know him, John mm-hmm. says in this passage.
Exactly.
And, you know, when you know the Lord and you meet somebody else who knows the Lord, and when you're filled with the Spirit and you meet somebody else who's filled with the Spirit, you have a natural bond with that person.
Mm-hmm.
Because now you really are brother and sister with them because they're adopted sons and daughters also.
You know, it's really that you don't, like Paul says, you know, we regard no one according to the flesh.
Right.
I don't see that person as whatever they were before because now they're a newborn creation in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And so am I a newborn creation
yeah.
in Jesus Christ. And I'm an adopted son just like they're an adopted son.
Exactly.
And so, I was going to follow up on something that you had said, and I started, it'll come back to me. But the point is that if we look at each other in the Spirit as adopted sons and daughters through Christ,
mm-hmm.
then that's our common bond.
Yes.
That cannot be broken unless we forfeit it. We can throw it all away
mm-hmm.
if we choose to.
Mm-hmm.
But you'd have to be a fool to do that
mm-hmm.
because you'd want to go back to sin.
Yeah.
You'd want to go back to being divided. You know, think of what happened. This is what I was going to talk about. Think of what happened when we were going over Acts chapter 10 and 11,
mm-hmm.
you know, about a month or so ago.
Yeah.
Those who did not know God now knew him.
Mm-hmm.
The God started pouring out his Spirit upon all these Gentiles who didn't believe,
mm-hmm.
who didn't know him, who didn't seek him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, obviously Cornelius was a God-fearer. But imagine that. One day, you're a Gentile, and one day you're sitting at the table and you're, you know, making your idols or doing whatever you're doing, and you're eating your unclean food.
Doing Gentile stuff.
Doing Gentile stuff. And the next day, you know, Saul of Tarsus or Paul knocks on your door and says, hey, I got to teach you the good news about there's forgiveness of sins in the name of Jesus Christ. And boom, you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. You receive the gift of faith. And now you have the full deposit of God's infinite love bestowed upon you in the Holy Spirit. And now you're a new creation.
Mm.
I mean, think, in the matter of one day, God changed your whole life because of his great love for you.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And this is why the first believers who were Jewish looked at what was happening. And Peter says, who am I to withhold the water of baptism?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, because they lived in the Jewish culture. They lived that life of living the law,
mm-hmm.
being faithful to the law. If you broke one, you broke them all. You know, but
wow.
When they saw this happening, my goodness, this is God's infinite mercy and love.
Yes.
Who am I to withhold this?
Yes.
It's just unfathomable. I mean, if we really understand it from that perspective, it's just unfathomable what God's done for us.
Yeah. And even as you're saying that, I'm thinking when we did the series about the one new man, which is
mm-hmm.
basically Ephesians 2:14 and around that verse, you know, it says this wall of partition between Jew and Gentile was broken down in his flesh.
Yeah.
You know, God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten son who in his flesh, in other words, by the suffering, by the blood, brought together not just Jew and Gentile, but everybody. But in particular, as you were saying, there were covenant people. There were non-covenant people.
Mm-hmm.
Cornelius was a non-covenant person. I mean, he even ate shrimp and disgusting stuff. I mean, those Gentiles could cook, but not the way Peter would have liked to have.
No.
Not the kind of meals Peter would have had.
Exactly.
But all of a sudden, there they are in Cornelius' house, equally filled with the Spirit, equally believing in salvation through Jesus the Messiah. And Peter says, hey, let's just baptize everybody. So it's pretty amazing that, you know, the love of God extends to everyone. So had there been people there from Mongolia and they would have believed and been filled with the Spirit, Peter would have baptized them too.
Yeah, he would have.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it really is quite amazing what happened after the death and resurrection of Jesus.
Yeah.
And like we said many times on the show, the plan of salvation didn't stop at the ascension of Jesus. It didn't stop at his death. It didn't stop at his resurrection.
That's right.
It didn't stop at his ascension.
Right.
He said, wait here because
the
Father's going to bestow on you the gift of the Spirit, who's going to remind you of all that I've taught you and will guide you and lead you in all truth.
Yeah. And it didn't stop when the last apostle, John, died. It's still going on.
It's still going on today.
We are just, we have, I mean, in a different way, obviously, but we are still carrying on the ministry of leading people to salvation.
Yes.
Even though the Apostle John probably died in 90 AD.
Mm-hmm.
If, you know, if the ministry would have stopped then, it would have been pretty bad.
Well, yeah. I mean, you and I were both at a conference a couple weeks ago, and there was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit like I haven't seen in a while.
Yeah, that was awesome.
And, you know, that Saturday evening was just, and that was Holy Spirit power.
Oh, that was awesome.
That was God pouring out his Holy Spirit in great abundance when you have a room full of people that are singing and praising in the Spirit.
Oh, yeah.
And it goes on for several minutes.
Oh, yeah.
That's just, you know, and there's harmonies that are going on. It's just like, you know, I'm a musician, so it's like, oh, that's so nice.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It still goes on today.
When you have people in the thing is, you know, we talked about this and we always read through Psalm 133, which reminds me of a song called Hinei Mato. But anyway, that means how good and pleasant it is. But it, when you have people praying in one accord, then the Spirit's poured out. When you have division and disunity and arguing and jealousy and bickering and human pride getting in the way, you know, the Spirit can be quenched. The Spirit can be grieved. You know, the Scripture tells us that the Spirit can be grieved. It says, don't grieve the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
He can be grieved. But when you have people there that say, we believe, we want the Spirit to come, we want him now, we are here praying for this, things start to happen.
Oh, yeah.
And boy, that conference was a great example.
Yeah.
From the awesome music that you and those young people did, right down to the speakers and right down to the people who were sitting in the seats that just, I mean, it was just a really awesome outpouring.
Yeah, it was.
Oof.
It was.
And it goes back to, of course, the Spirit doesn't come until the Son comes, until the sacrifice happens. Because God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. That's, the cross is the center.
Right.
And if you go back, I don't know, when did we do that series on the cross? Was it maybe 2 years ago?
Gosh, yeah, probably.
But, I think it was 2 years ago, probably. But if you go to the website and go back and look for the series on the cross, I think there were 8 or 9 shows.
Right.
It would really help you, I think, to go back and listen to some of those because the cross is the center.
Yeah. It really is, because without the cross, I mean, without the cross, none of this happens.
Yeah, exactly.
If Jesus doesn't die, you know, if Jesus doesn't die on the cross and then rise from the dead, he's not the Messiah.
Yeah.
And Paul says, you know, if he hasn't risen from the dead, our faith is in vain. We're pitiful because we're worshiping something we don't understand.
Exactly. And if he doesn't rise, we're still in our sins.
Exactly.
That means we put our hope in a dead person.
Yeah.
Which, uh-oh. I hear Paul Wilbur coming.
What music?
He's here in the studio with... Oh, no, he's not. Remember,
oh, man.
Yeah, we need to do a show with him again.
He shows up when I'm not there.
I called him special. Anyway, remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
Listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. That's one of my favorites.
That's an awesome song.
Whew. Well, we only have, I don't know, maybe 8 minutes left, maybe less.
Yeah.
But maybe covering God's love is might be too big of a topic to do in 53 minutes. Or 48 minutes or whatever it is.
Left on this show, yeah, I think so.
Considering people have been talking about it since Adam and Eve's time.
Yeah.
But, you know, the one thing I do want to cover, and we probably are going to have to do another show on this. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
I think so.
Because we got more stuff.
We do.
I think when we did the series on the cross, we were going to try to do two or three shows, and we ended up with nine.
Yeah.
But some things just you can't collapse into little segments. But
when the Lord starts giving you insight into what His Word is saying, you want to go with that because God is. This is how the Spirit still teaches us.
Exactly.
You know, He's reminding us. I mean, putting all these passages together and connecting things is how the Lord teaches us.
Yes.
Until today. So.
Yes. That reminds me of I don't know, not too many years ago, when I first started teaching Bible studies and teaching in churches and teaching groups and stuff. I would have a PowerPoint, and then I would, put the stuff up on the PowerPoint, and I'd be talking, and all of a sudden I would say something that I hadn't thought about before, wasn't in the PowerPoint, wasn't in my notes, and all of a sudden I would realize something, like you say, the connections. I used to call them the connections, and I would stop and go, wow, and everybody would say, what? I go, I didn't know that until this minute.
That's the Holy Spirit work.
Yeah, and imagine Peter and those guys, how many awe moments they would have had.
Oh, they probably have a lot of awe moments.
Yeah.
Like the whole New Testament.
Peter would be going through a PowerPoint, and all of a sudden he'd stop and go, wait, wow, I didn't know that.
we didn't write Acts.
Where's Luke? Does he have Acts done yet?
Where's the Gospel of Matthew? Isn't it finished yet?
But
they did not have, all they had was the Torah.
Yes.
They had the scrolls. They did not have any of this. They didn't have any iPhones or iPads or, Bible study programs.
Yeah.
It's amazing. They were impelled by the Spirit to proclaim God's truth and the mercy of God that was poured out in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. So
now, back to John, the Apostle John, in his first letter, chapter 1, at the very beginning of that letter is something which is so cool. And Steve read from chapter 3 earlier, but the very first three verses always have mind-boggled me, because John says, that which was from the beginning, in other words, Jesus, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. In other words, they had physical, real experiences and relationships with Jesus and his humanity and divinity too, of course. But they saw him, they looked at him, they heard him, they touched him. And, he talks about how eternal life is manifested to us by this. And then later, a little bit farther down, he says, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So he says, we had these experiences. We heard his teachings. We saw what happened. We saw what happened on the cross. I was there at the cross. All those other guys ran away. I was there with Jesus' mother and maybe one or two other people, but I saw firsthand what happened, and I want to tell you about this. I want to declare this to you so that you can have fellowship with us and that you know that the fellowship is with the Father through the Messiah. Through Jesus. And he says that you can have fellowship with us. He's not just talking about somebody he's writing to in the first century. He's not just talking about some guys, that he met when he was in some city. He's not talking about some soldier he met when he was on the Isle of Patmos. He's talking to us, that we have fellowship with him. We have fellowship with each other. Because of this truth that he declared to us.
Yeah.
And I love that passage because it's so powerful that this experience that John and the others had with the physical Jesus, right down to the point of seeing the dead physical Jesus, the risen physical Jesus, they still want to tell us about it.
Yeah, exactly.
Oof.
And when we encounter the Lord, we too want to share our encounter with Jesus with
yes.
someone else.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Because the love of God impels us in such a way that it's not just about knowledge of, as we were talking in the first part of the show, it's not just about knowing things about God. It's not just knowing things about Jesus or the Holy Spirit. It's encountering
yes.
and experiencing and having a life in the Spirit, a life that is to the full, as Jesus talks about in John 10:10.
Yeah.
That he came and we might have life and have it up to the full.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, and what's the fullness of life? To be reconciled with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as God intended it to be from the beginning of creation.
Yes. I mean, look at John. John was a fisherman. He mm-hmm. and his brother James, their father Zebedee. Jesus called him and James the sons of thunder.
Yeah.
So they must have had a bad temper. They must have been always like ready to do something. He called them sons of thunder. And now he says, hey, I was a fisherman and I was kind of a big mouth, but I encountered the living Messiah. I experienced all of this that happened and I want to declare it to you so that you can have fellowship.
Yeah.
And the fellowship is not only with us. I mean, if you want to hang around with me and Peter, that's fine. But the main fellowship is that you're going to hang around with the Father through his Son because of the Spirit.
Amen.
Whew. We're already done.
I know.
Well, I hope you've had an awesome, Lord's Day.
And we would just pray that you would be open to God's love that is manifest through Jesus Christ and his Holy Spirit. Let the Spirit come upon you and open your heart in the truth of God, in all of his wisdom, and all the forgiveness of sins that are in Jesus' name. God bless everyone. Have a great week.
Isaac and Abraham, an altar without a lamb, a covenant ring, a hand raised in praise.
You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.